Welcome to an episode of Bands and Botanicals, a unique podcast where a trainer and trainee talk about herbal medicine and fitness.
We're your hosts. My name is Danielle Kreese, and I'm a certified personal trainer and owner of DC Fit. And we also have Paula Kirsch, who's an artisanal herbalist and owner of Botanically Curious. So let's go ahead and start the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Bands and Botanicals.
Hey.
We're here today to talk a little bit about pain management. But before we do, we're going to go ahead and introduce ourselves again. So my name's Paula, and I'm the creator of Botanically Curious. You might find me on Instagram, or you can search me botanicallycurious.com. I am currently wildcrafting herbs and different herbal remedies on my homestead in Southern Oregon and offering blended teas and other things. And my co-host here, Danielle.
Hey. I am coming to you as your resident personal trainer for this podcast, certified through NASM. Also have a certification in corrective exercise, which actually goes hand in hand with this podcast because pain management is almost part of everyone's day, I think. But before we get too far into that, I am actually Paula's trainer. That's how we met. So not only is she bringing her knowledge of herbalism, but we're kind of coming together in this kind of fun relationship of trainer and trainee and kind of bouncing things off of each other. We actually just got done with a session too. So hopefully Paula's mind is working right.
Right.
And I think the way that we wanted to start our podcast, we did this last time, but we pulled up, Paula has these beautiful botanical oracle cards, and we just pull one, and it kind of sets kind of the tone, reflection of our day or what we're going through, and we just thought we would share that with you. So we pulled one card as we were getting ready for this, and Paula is going to explain it. It's actually interesting how it ties into our life.
Yeah, so today is the Huckleberry, and the really neat thing about these botanical oracle cards is you just pull one throughout the day. And it's a good way to just reflect and see if any of those things kind of resonate with what's happening in your life. And with the huckleberry, for those that might use that within herbal remedies or maybe even just jams or things, it's a really nice berry. And for that reason, they've given it the property of resourcefulness. Now, for those who might not know, huckleberries are actually really resourceful because of how they thrive within nature. When you can usually find them like on the side of a cliff growing in different types of soil, you can even find them growing after a really deep snow, which is interesting. And then here locally, we've unfortunately been dealing with a lot of devastating wildfires, and huckleberries actually are one of the first to grow through ashy soil from wildfires in the forest, which is really interesting and really neat that we pulled this one.
Yeah, it's, you know, the resourcefulness we could tie into later with the pain management and kind of needing to be resourceful in order to work through pain, in order to manage pain. But it's also amazing that we pulled that card because Paul and I are both coming to you from Southern Oregon. So we were both just, or our communities were both just directly affected by the fires that went through Talon and Phoenix, Paula and Shady Cove. So we have kind of all that devastation around us, and we wanted to give back to the community. So if you do become a subscriber to this podcast, anything that we do get from it, we are going to donate directly to the fire relief. So it's really beautiful that this was the card that was pulled, and that's the kind of the initiative we want to set ourselves off on with this podcast and how we can help our communities while also helping you with fitness and herbal needs.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're really excited, you know, like Danielle said, being locally affected here, we know that there's a lot of different organizations out there trying to help. So knowing where we're going to be putting that money and it going to good use is really great. And for those people that really feel for those that were affected but don't have the resources financially, something as easy as listening to a podcast throughout the day and knowing that it's contributing, or sharing it with your friends and letting them know, hey, just listen to this podcast, become a subscriber, whatever it might be, that could contribute. And as we do so, we're going to give you guys updates to how the money is really affecting the community and the things that you're doing, so that way you can stay a part of it, which is going to be nice.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I'm really excited to do that. I think it's wonderful. I think it's necessary. And we're just happy to be able to provide that. And, you know, one of the really cool things with this type of podcast, too, is not only will we talk about herbal remedies on here, but we're also going to upload videos. Paula has things that she has on her own website. And if you don't have the monetary incentives to support this directly, you could still support your community by maybe even creating something that we talk about that's in support of what your friends or family may need. You know, we've been dealing with smoke inhalation, and we've been dealing with kind of different things going into the winter now. Some people are going to be outside a lot if they were displaced. So, you know, when we talk about cold remedies or things that are good for the respiratory system, they might not be ways that you directly give to this podcast particularly, but they're ways that you could still give back to your community, which is a pretty cool thing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So pain.
Pain. I'm feeling the burn after that workout. For sure.
I put Paula through it a little bit today. And you know, pain as a personal trainer, and I'm sure as a trainee as well, as a human being living this life.
As a human being of the earth.
I think we could all notice that almost everyone around us has some type of injury. It doesn't even have to be a major injury. It doesn't have to be because you broke something or sprained something. It doesn't have to be from an accident. It could literally just be the tension that you constantly feel in your shoulders, or how tight your hip flexors are if you've been sitting for a really long time because of your job.
Right.
So I think this is going to be invaluable, both from the herbal standpoint and the fitness standpoint, because we can all benefit from it, I think. Yeah. Literally everyone. Did you ask?
Well, so different types of pain. Let's just kind of start there, because there are ways where me in particular, or people that I know, are just like, gosh, I don't know what that is or like how serious that is, but it's really aggravating me right now. So things like acute pain, where it's in a specific location, you might have reoccurring pain. I am a mother, so I, you know, unfortunately have a lot of back pain from after my pregnancy and the different procedures that I had to go through during childbirth. And so that's kind of a reoccurring pain. And unfortunately, that's also turned into a chronic pain, which is the other type of pain that we're going to be talking about, where there's actual nerve damage that you might be dealing with, and a lot of tension, which causes a lack of motion.
And, you know, there are even more varieties of pain on top of that. you know, we talked about the acute pain and the chronic pain, but you also, knowing the difference while you're working out between a sharp or stabbing pain versus a muscle fatigue or just like a general soreness is really important, because that could kind of change the game in your workout. We literally just experienced that. Paula was particularly tight in her hamstrings. And we were kind of, as we were speaking, as we were going through our movements, we were having to really stay mindful. And I was asking her a lot of questions, if it was that stabbing pain, if it felt sharp, or if it was just contributed to maybe that fatigue and just, you know, maybe some general soreness. So that's something to pay attention to. Stabbing pain may be an impingement of a tendon or like bone on bone contact. So always really important to just be aware, and mind-body connection is kind of where it's at anyway. So the other thing that I wanted to mention too was a pain with swelling. So if you get a bunch of swelling, you know, this is kind of your body literally showing you where it is trying to heal itself. Mm-hmm. So if you have pain associated with that, the swelling doesn't go down after your workout and is just prevalent, that is definitely something to look into. Painful pops versus clicking. You know, I've trained a lot of people, and I, myself included, sometimes you hear those clicks and they kind of make you nervous because you don't know what they mean. We can't just look into our body. And kind of when you hear a pop, I mean like a, ooh, you know, a pop, I feel like everyone knows it kind of just like sends a shiver down your spine, whether you're the person receiving it pop or listening to the pop as a trainer. And that could be indicative of a tear or a dislocation, possibly a ligament or a tendon. So, you know, being aware of the noises you hear, they're not always worrisome, but if there's that sharp pain associated, that initial onset with that pop, that's kind of where you have to stay aware. And then just one more, kind of backing on the chronic pain, but chronic pain can lead to nerve pain, but nerve pain can also be something created in and of itself. Sometimes when people are performing a move improperly, rushing through a move, loading too quickly before their body's actually ready for it, you could create impingements, which could then kind of constrict the nerves. And that's, you know, I've been teaching a class before at Orange Theory, and someone has told me that they started to feel numb in their leg. If that is happening, you must not just push through for the sake of pushing through.
Right.
And I'll talk about that later. That whole no pain, no gain idea is not always the best to listen to. But those are just some different kinds of pains that you may not be aware that there's this huge spectrum of them, but there are.
Yeah. And with nerve pain in particular, when you know that that's already something that you have to deal with, or maybe it's a new injury, obviously there's going to be inflammation, like Danielle was mentioning. And the things to really look out for to just recuperate your body and make sure you're nourishing it is making sure that you have a lot of B vitamins. Now, this is something a lot of people might hear about B12. And B12 is something that it's a little bit more difficult to get within your diet, but other B vitamins as well that are really going to help. And then, you know, definitely look at how you're hydrating your body. And unfortunately, you know, alcohol is really fun, but if you already have some kind of injury, alcohol is technically poison. So you don't want to be putting that into your body because it's going to hinder how your body can then recover within those injuries. So, you know, a lot of people use alcohol to manage pain some of the time. And so that's just really not doing you any good with those things. Another thing is, you know, drinking celery juice in the morning is actually pretty easy. It doesn't taste good. I didn't say it tasted good.
I just started this celery juice journey. And let me tell you, my first cup went down very not easily. But the properties associated with it are so amazing, which I'll now allow Paula to talk about. But man.
Right. In terms of herbs, you can always throw in some meadow sweet, which is really great for reducing joint stiffness, arthritis, gout, if you have it for certain things. It's really interesting as you get older to really look at what kinds of foods affect your body. Like for me in particular, I notice like nightshade vegetables, tomatoes, things like that actually don't agree with me as well. And for those people who potentially have gout or other things, that's something to look out for, because if you're trying to improve your health and your movement and all of those things, you don't want to be going home eating something or ingesting something that's actually going to put you back and make the workout harder in the gym when you get there the next day or whenever that might be. In the last episode, we talked a little bit about ginkgo biloba and how you can actually grow those in pots in your house, which is really nice. And really, when you're talking about pain, there's some double duty it does there because it works really well with nerve pain. So just taking those, making sure, because it has those anti-inflammatory properties and it protects against nerve injuries. So there's that combination within all of those that's really nice. And if you can, if you do end up getting a supplement just because it's easier, make sure you know kind of the sources and there's not a lot of fillers within that.
Yes. And so, okay, so I have a question for you. You may not know this, podcast world, but 7 years ago, I guess there's no other way to put it other than I was kind of run over by a boat. So the boat propeller caught my leg, severed my sciatic nerve, and now I'm paralyzed from the knee down in my left leg. And because of that nerve damage, I mean, it has gotten better over the years, but my nerve damage used to be so, or not my nerve damage, my nerve pain used to be so, so excruciating. I mean, anyone who's had nerve pain can probably empathize with that stabbing, fire, electric, burning awfulness that just comes without you even realizing it. Mm-hmm. Or it comes, you know, with no warning, rather. I've definitely been in the middle of conversations before, and all of a sudden, like, my face turns really gnarly and I have to completely hold still for a second as I try to breathe through the nerve pain. So if I wanted to incorporate the ginkgo, and this is where maybe people who are not as comfortable with herbs and stuff would have questions too. Like, if I don't have the plant available to me, do you take it like in tea form? Do they have teas with ginkgo, or is it a supplement, or how else would I kind of ingest it to kind of help with the nerve pain?
Right. I would actually suggest just doing a supplement. It's not necessarily the best tasting. You can get it in like a powdered form if you'd like, and potentially put that into like a coffee or something.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned in the last podcast, if you do end up getting the actual maybe berry or whatever it is, there's a way of roasting those and popping open to eat the meat inside, which you can throw in maybe to a smoothie or something else. It smells a lot worse than it tastes, which is always good.
Maybe like a durian.
Right. And then, you know, sometimes what I do, if I do have supplements, cause I'm not a big fan, I'll throw it into a smoothie and just make sure I crush it up really well.
Oh, okay.
And then that's a way, for those people who don't like swallowing pills a lot of time or have issues with swallowing pills.
Good to know. Nice. So I wanted to talk really quick about some pains that you may experience throughout your working out and things that you could kind of be aware of. So I talked about this with Paula, extreme soreness. I mean, like, if you're sore, I think that's a positive thing. It means you added that stress to your body. You need to add stress to your body and change that stress in order for your body to continue adapting. That's why they say you never grow when you're comfortable. Mm-hmm. Same thing goes whether you're inside or outside of the gym. But extreme soreness to the point where it may last a week or more, where it is affecting your day-to-day, that could be a sign of muscle damage. And if it's not taken care of, it can be permanent. So you want to, you know, I can't emphasize that mind-body connection enough, because these are things you want to be aware of. You should not always be pushing yourself to the point of debilitating soreness. Mm-hmm. You are doing that inverse effect to your body. You think that going hard, and this is a lesson I have had to learn and still have to pull back on sometimes. You don't need to go hard 24/7. You know, you really have to listen, slow it down. It happened to me last week. I felt this strain coming on in my inner thigh. And I ended up having to do yoga like 4 days last week, which has not been happening for a long time. And it was because I was overtraining myself and I wasn't listening the way I tell everyone else to listen. And I got caught up in that too. Mm-hmm. So just things to be aware of. Tendonitis, which is also super common for people. Your tendon connects to your bone. It's constantly getting manipulated because we're constantly in motion. But when you have improper form, or when you overuse it or have those repetitive movements, you're going to get inflamed, you're going to get irritated, and if you don't pay it attention, you're going to continue to worsen it. Stress fractures. So if the bone sees an increase in the stress in the stress load too quickly, it's going to create a fracture. Bone is actually really, really cool in the sense that when it gets pulled or manipulated by the muscle or tendons, it stimulates remodeling and strengthening of the bone, which is a great thing. But that too much, too fast idea will cause the bone to kind of start to fail. And the way that you could pay attention to this or prevent this from happening is if you start feeling pain running along your bone. That is kind of the predecessor to the stress fracture. And the last one would maybe just be paying attention to, like, I guess this would be hard. It's kind of arbitrary, but cartilage.
Right.
Which, you know, a lot of people feel maybe an arthritis. You mentioned arthritis earlier. What's interesting is that we think it's like the cartilage, or rather the lack thereof, because the articulating cartilage is the cartilage that goes around your bone that connects or touches the other bone. We don't want that. So we need that cartilage to protect it. But as it gets stressed, it may not be as smooth. And as we get older, it also degenerates a little bit. There's no direct blood supply. So once it's gone, it's gone. So when you feel that arthritis, it's actually interesting because you're feeling more the tissue around the cartilage in the joint rather than the cartilage itself. Mm-hmm. But that is another type of common pain, especially that you find not just in the gym, but outside of the gym, just because we are in kind of a habitual culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our movements that we do day to day are very similar, very repetitive, especially if that's like super focused in on a certain job. So just some things to keep in mind for you. Some common pains, don't be afraid to talk to people about, because guaranteed someone around you is feeling it too.
Yeah. And if you have a trainer or if you're in the gym and you've got someone who is making you feel bad for needing to stop, reset, reorient yourself, or to change the move that you're doing to better fit your body and whatever injury you have, I would recommend getting out of there. You know, Danielle and I work, and she knows that, like I mentioned, I have back pain, or I might have some kind of joint pain or whatever it might be, or I did something really strenuous on my property the week before and I'm just not feeling that move right then and there. She knows, and she's able to change the move so I get a great workout and I don't have to feel bad and push through already injured muscles or joints, mm-hmm. which is really important. You know, you do not want people to, especially in that setting when you're trying to, you know, you take the time to out of your day to get there, to make it work on your wellness journey or to, you know, your fitness journey. Don't let people take that away from you. Don't let them make you feel bad.
No, I could not. Thank you so much for saying that, right. Because I have been in classes before where coaches or fitness instructors have, you know, gone to specific individuals and like, this was a spinning class specifically in Miami.
Oh, this is brutal.
And the spinning instructor took it upon herself to add more resistance to the person's bike. And that was such a huge red flag to me. I understand wanting to push people, but she doesn't know that person's body. She doesn't know if that person was feeling fatigued that day, what they were going through, if they were injured. You know, you really have to find a trainer who is going to balance out that hard work versus staying healthy because I and staying safe, because I have to say it is devastating to watch people fall into their fitness journey and then get injured because of overtraining. And I saw it happen a lot at Orange Theory, and I've seen it at CrossFit gyms, because you want to go, and then you finally, you know, you think that's what it takes, hard 24/7. And then you get injured and you have to fall back again. And for people, sometimes getting restarted, it's so disheartening, you know, when that happens. And it's such like a blow that that's the last thing you want. You never want to push through pain and risk falling into a cycle of injury that you can't get out of.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and with that, when you're really pushing yourself, like we mentioned, you really have to align when you're in the gym and out of the gym, and your whole wellness kind of path has to be more aligned in terms of your nutrition and what you're putting into your body. And, you know, we've all probably been to a restaurant where they might have a menu for older people that might be discounted, whatever the case may be, but it usually has fish on it. And the reason that there's usually like salmon or other things like that, because the omega-3 fatty acids are fantastic for joint pain, which usually happens just naturally as you get older. But if you're working out really hard in the gym or you're doing something new, maybe it's not even in the gym, maybe you're just going for walks and you realize that additional movement, that 10,000 steps, whatever it might be, because it's different for you, is really taking a toll on your body. Well, if that's the case, you really need to nourish your body. Like we mentioned at the beginning of the segment, B12 is really, really significant actually within the body. Besides actually helping your nerves, it also helps with your blood cells and creating healthier blood cells within the body. And that also helps to make the DNA within. And so the genetic material within all of your cells is your DNA. And so that seems like a pretty important thing to make sure that your body can function properly. And
DNA
so,
may be important.
Right. And so you might see like those B12 shots or whatever it might be out there. That is one of those things that really, you know, there is definitely marketing behind certain products, but B12 is really, really essential for health and wellness and just making sure, especially if you might be anemic or things, you just want to make sure you're incorporating that into your diet. along with those omega-3 fatty acids. It doesn't matter how old you are, preventing those things from happening in the beginning is just one of those things that'll make your wellness journey a lot easier in the long run.
Yeah, and a lot more efficient. And you know, the omega-3s and the B12s that you were just talking about, and the exercise, because exercise stimulates blood vessels to dilate, which increases the blood flow. Mm-hmm. All of those things are just going to become, you know, it's going to make you more well-rounded. It's not just taking one, but merging. And that's why we kind of wanted to start this, is because there is this beautiful relationship between herbs and you know, how you could help your body. And we all know that there's food and exercise and all of that, but, you know, focusing on these other components to eating, not just protein, fats, and carbs, but these herbs that could benefit you in these beautiful ways to help just elevate your journey.
And I know we mentioned and we talked a little bit about like topical things that you can put on your skin, which is really interesting. And so some of the things that I have are the calamus grass. So calamus is like a grass plant. And it's great for nerve damage and repair. So you can use it topically on specific spots within your body. The root of it actually can be used to help with gastrointestinal issues or inflammation in general within the body and the stomach lining. So if you might be coming from an area of your stomach really runs your life and your decisions, maybe incorporating that into teas that you have or food that you make, or supplements or something like that would be really helpful. And then if you do it topically, actually it helps with the maturation of the collagen within your skin. Mm-hmm. And so it realigns the tension lines. And so, and the water is reabsorbed so that the collagen fibers can actually kind of cross link and strengthen. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really neat because we're in such an opioid crisis here and such a chemical medicine mindset where we're like, okay, what's the next best thing, especially for women? I mean, we dye our hair, we get our nails done, we use makeup, you know, shampoos, all of those things that are marketed towards women specifically have tons and tons of chemicals in them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on top of the opioid crisis where people are prescribed pain medication and whatever it might be, that is really going to impact their lives, their families, things that they do moving forward.
I've seen it.
If you can just try, you know, sometimes plants can actually be just as strong, if not stronger than pharmaceuticals, with a lot less effects afterwards, which is really nice.
I think that's my favorite thing about what we're doing here is so many of us, you know, in this country and elsewhere are over-medicating ourselves through pharmaceuticals and we underestimate that the power of the plant, like Paula was just talking about. We underestimate the power of movement. And when you really think about it, all these pharmaceuticals were derived from plants. I mean, plants were the original medicine. I mean, it's where we all came from. It's where our aspirin comes from. I mean, we have such a disconnect, and that's what we're trying to, I think, bridge here. And I try to bridge that by bringing people outside or just having natural components in the gym, is just bridging that gap. We're so separated and we like don't think about where our medicine has actually, where the origin story of our medicine was, and that is plants. So we shouldn't underestimate them.
Yeah, absolutely. If you really look at more of the kind of chemical medicine, and I don't want to say Western medicine and lump all of them, because I definitely go to the doctor when I have a serious fracture, sprain, break,
right,
whatever it might be. I'm not saying not doing those things, but the chemical aspect of the medical industry and kind of like you mentioned, the pharmaceuticals, it's interesting to see how that's really, in terms of medicine in general, is a short-lived history that really only started happening when they realized how much money can actually be made from creating these lab-based chemical, you know, ingredients that you can't produce at home and that are supposedly better for you. And, you know, to know that, for people to look at plants and say, oh, the, you know, that's not real medicine or whatever it might be. But then to realize that, you know, Chinese medicine was very herbalist based for a very long time. Even now, you know, when you think of Chinese medicine, you're like, okay, they know what they're doing, right? You're like ginseng and you think of those types of things.
When we lived in Taiwan, if we went to any doctor's offices, I mean, yeah, they had the, you know, the generic medicine, but we got so many herbs mm-hmm. that we were given through our doctors.
Right.
Not even just an herbalist, but straight from the doctor. Like mm-hmm. that, they're about it.
You know, internally and externally is really, really important when you're talking about whole health. And so I really like turmeric and grapeseed oil for these particular things. Turmeric's amazing for inflammation, like we've talked about, nerve damage, all of those things. But it's also really great for your skin and incorporating it into different masks. And that's really awesome. And then
if you work out a lot, you may need to focus on your skin a little bit more.
Especially with COVID and everybody having to wear a mask. I yeah. feel for you. Like, I've been breaking out all along my jawline. Sweating with a mask on is not fun.
So inflammation and skin, bam.
Right. Yeah. Powerhouse. So, and then with grapeseed, the great thing about that is the grapeseed oil, if you get like the cold pressed kind that's like organic, you can maybe even toss it into a salad. It's fantastic for your skin. So a lot of the time, like if I'm doing, like we mentioned in our tea event, one woman did not have a bath. So I said, take the bath salts, put a little grapeseed oil in it and make it a scrub. And
yeah.
then you can get that softness yeah. in your body. You can get that exfoliation out of it. And the other interesting thing about grapeseed, gentlemen out there, this is one, if you're not taking grapeseed, start taking it. Awesome for blood flow. I mean, everywhere, you know what I'm saying? So, ladies, get your husbands on grapeseed oil.
Get that blood flow.
And scarring, you know, like I mentioned, it's really great for skin and for scarring.
Huh. Could probably use a couple of these things on my body.
You know, all of those things are really great, easy to incorporate.
There's this idea of no pain, no gain that I really wanted to touch on, because it is, if you don't fully understand the concept of it, it could be rather detrimental. The pain you want associated with your workout is a soreness and a fatigue. Yes, you want to know, again, that you applied the pressure, you applied the stress to the body necessary for it to adapt and change the way you want it to. But increasing loads of stress that, you know, contribute to things like the tendonitis, contribute things like, you know, stress fractures or that extreme soreness or arthritis, that is not good pain. You get into injury, you start compensating, your pain increases, you start compensating more. Not only does this affect your body, because every part of the body is connected. So not only does it affect your body and the entirety in which it moves, but if your body starts hurting, if you can't move the way you want to, that's going to affect your mental capacity as well. It's going to lead to depression. It's going to lead to maybe you giving up. So this cycle of injury, this cycle of pain can affect more than just the physical, which I think is an important component to talk about as well. So when it comes to that no pain, no gain, when you're in the middle of your workout and maybe you just feel that burn, that good burn, not that nerve burn, that burn in your muscles where you know you're trying so hard, that pain you could push through. That pain is going to give you that gain. But if you have any of the other pain that we talked about, the numbness, the sharp pain, the acute pain, nerve pain attributed to the movements you're making, bad pain.
Right.
You will not be gaining anything mm-hmm. if you try to work through that pain. And I see it happen time and time again, especially when I'm teaching classes, because there's that, even if you try to dispel it, there's almost that competitive nature mm-hmm. that comes with classes. So I always see people after the fact talking about how much pain they were in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't do yourself a disservice, basically.
Right.
You know, working out can be humbling in the sense that you do want to go hard, and I love to go hard, but it is stress on your body. You have to be humbled by that. Like, and this is the one body we have. So you have to learn to push it and both recognize when you're pushing it too much and when you need to take care of it. So no pain, no gain. Just take that with a grain of salt and only apply it when it's applicable.
Especially for those ladies out there that are killing it at the gym, then they've got to go run around, do a bunch of errands, go to work, take care of the kids, do all these other things that potentially some of them might have to do, or like you, who works out for like 5 hours a day because you have training knee, and then you have boot camps, and then you have other stuff, and then you have relational.
For the record, it's not really 5 hours a day.
But still,
that would be overtraining.
You're totally running around like crazy, and yes. Other people might be as well. And we're coming into the winter, and we mentioned this earlier, where sometimes it's just so hard to get out of bed when the rain and the snow and the gloomy weather kind of kicks in. And with herbs in particular, you know, St. John's wort becomes really popular this time of year. And because people realize the shift in their body, how they're not as productive as maybe they'd like to be, they really want to be doing a lot of those things.
Is it also good for depression?
Right, right. And so that's one of those things where people will start taking it and they think because it's a plant, it's like salad. The more I take, the healthier I'll be, which dosage you should really be taking within a day. You don't want to throw off and create chemical imbalances within your brain or other things within your body by taking that. But St. John's wort is actually really good in the winter because we do start feeling a little achy. If you have past pain, past injury, for me, when I start to get cold, I notice it a lot more in my joints. Like
yes.
When I was a kid, I was looking at other people like, you're crazy. You don't feel that the rain's
coming.
You're
just old.
You're just old. Let me tell you, you feel it. You feel it.
And you do. Yes. My body hurts so much more in the winter from my injury.
Right. So St. John's wort's really great for that. You can actually use it as a topical, and it's really good for sciatic pain, which is something that I struggle with. That we mentioned, you know, injuries within that. And then passion flower. I actually put passion flower in some bath salts and stuff that I sell online. And it's really great in tea. But you can soak in a tub with some of this. Maybe if you've been working on a little bit more, you've been moving more than usual, put some passion flower with some Epsom salt in a bath and just soak in that. And it's going to really help with muscle tension, which is really nice.
So I wonder, you know, kind of coming off of that with the things you could put topically, with the soaks that you could be in with the bath salts or with the Epsom salts, mm-hmm. And some lavender and stuff for like muscle tension. I could imagine that that would also be good for chronic pain, because we haven't totally talked about chronic pain yet, which is something that affects so many people. And it's something that affects so many people silently and invisibly. And that's why it's such a hard thing. For example, fibromyalgia, arthritis, those affect 100 million people in the U.S., a billion and a half people worldwide. Arthritis is one of the leading causes of disability in the US. I mean, you may not think that because you may think of these greater injuries as being more conducive to calling it a disability. But if you can't move your hands, if the arthritis in your knees is preventing you from walking, those are everyday things that will impact the way that you can work and the way that you can live. And they do become debilitating. And one of the biggest things is that when you suffer in this way, and I don't have any chronic pain right now from these particular things. I have my kind of chronic pain from my injury, but when you suffer from this chronic pain, I can understand why you would want to stay still. Mm-hmm. It's like when you're really, I'm not going to compare it to being really sore after a workout, but even people who are really sore after a workout want to stay still. And that's actually one of the worst things you could do for your body. I mean, if it's associated with a workout, then it's that lactic acid. If it's associated with these chronic pains, it's kind of the opposite of that saying. Like, it's actually, if you don't move it, you'll lose it. I mean, when you stay active, it is a form of pain management. I don't know if you could tell when you're waking up in the morning and you're really stiff, first coming out of bed. That could happen to anyone, let alone people who have to deal with chronic pain. And it's not until you really start moving your body a little bit, start getting into motion, that all of that tension within your muscles starts to dissipate. And it's the same thing with this. So like Tai Chi, for example, which is a form of very, very slow, very mindful martial arts, has been shown to intervene with osteoarthritis, lower back pain, fibromyalgia. Yoga, which is very popular, but has been going on for centuries, has been also shown to be very effective for things like chronic lower back pain, amongst the plethora of other benefits that yoga has to offer. And I think the misconception too, maybe, is the population affected by chronic pain. Mm. You know, just like how Paul and I were just joking that we looked at people with their joint pain and just, you know, when the weather changes and when our younger selves being all cocky would just be like, you're just old, bro. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like,
karma.
But yeah, old or it's karma. And that's just simply not true. And especially these days with our culture, it's more sedentary. The jobs that we have, not that we're trying to be sedentary, but they may just call for that. Chronic pain now affects every age group mm-hmm. in our population. Mm-hmm. So talking about it, you know, being aware of it and just please, like, moving the body, and it doesn't have to be these big movements. You know, Paula was talking about with herbs, your dosage. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with working out. You have to listen to your body. Because if you overdo it, especially if you have chronic pain, that could lead to a flare up.
Right.
If you underdo it, you may get really, really stiff. Like, for example, with the paralysis in my leg, my husband has actually spent hundreds of nights in the last 7 years rotating my ankle for me to prevent it from fusing. So you could kind of think about it in the same way. You don't want to get so stiff. You don't want to get so tight that even just moving is difficult. So listen to your body. Prescribe yourself something that is applicable for your situation. Taking it easy at first and then adding on loads if you don't get flare-ups, if you feel comfortable. And yeah, I mean, Paula, do you have anything to kind of add to that? That chronic pain focus?
Well, just in the area of movement, and you mentioned, you know, taking it kind of bit by bit. The important thing is, and it's so astonishing to me that so many people, like you mentioned, have jobs where they're sitting. They might be really young people who are active. They, mm-hmm. they view themselves as active people. They go hiking on the weekends, whatever it might be. But for the majority, you know, 40 hours a week, they're sitting almost all of the time.
And someone told me that if you work out 1 hour in the day, that's 4% of your day.
Right.
So if you look at that ratio, mm-hmm. I mean, it's drastically one-sided.
Yeah. And just counting your steps, if you can actually get to 10,000 steps or more mm-hmm. throughout the day, you know, those little things that people don't think are a big deal, that's actually more than a lot of people who are young, active, but have jobs that are sitting, because they might be in the gym, they might be lifting weight, they might seem and look very active. But in terms of movement after that,
right.
And that's where a lot of that, like you mentioned, injury mm-hmm. can come in, because mm-hmm. you're already stiff and you're held up and, you know, oh my goodness. Well, right. With a cream and ointment, one of the ones that I have that I haven't mentioned yet is Arnica creams. So these are really great for any kind of muscle soreness. If you have bruising, I know, I think when you came over to my house last time, I had a weighted hula hoop, which is a really mm-hmm. fun way to work out, but it does leave like bruising and things like that. So if you do have, or if you do kickboxing, some more intense stuff, you really like to get your aggression out. This is a really great one. Obviously helps with joint pain, inflammation, swelling. So you can put that on your joints. And you know that it's more natural than yeah. maybe Icy Hot. You're also not going to smell like Icy Hot or Bengay or whatever else might be out there.
I like it.
I do not.
See, that's awesome. And that, like, I love that you're bringing actual treatments that people could apply before, after their workouts that are going to help them feel better, that's going to be natural for them, safe for them. You know, other things are take a break. I know that is really hard. It's hard for me. And people who are just starting on their fitness journey think that if they take a break, they're going to take 12 steps back. But if you're experiencing any of the pains that we talked about today, take a break.
Right.
I can't emphasize it enough. And you know what's beautiful is that our body isn't just one appendage or one part.
Mm-hmm.
If you give one part of your body a break, it allows you to explore and to strengthen another part of your body. My arms got way more defined after my workout.
You are a beast with those arms.
Yo, let me tell you, I have not always been. And I honestly attribute it to my accident. Because I couldn't really use my legs. I was bedridden for weeks, if not kind of months to a certain extent. And I had to use my arms. I had to use my arms to lift myself up. I had to use my arms to help myself with a walker. You know, when I finally moved to that, when I finally moved to crutches, I had to use my arms. And then I could only really work out with my arms. So even though it was devastating to be in this accident, it gave me that ability to focus on another part of my body, which was one of the small silver linings or that you have to find. So take a break, focus on another part, ice it, you know, you could just regularly ice it too.
Right.
You can do that up to 20 minutes after your activity. You could do it daily for several weeks. You know, ice is actually your friend. And like I said, continue to move the injured part, you know, if it's applicable, if you're able to, just small rotations, things that are just going to keep it supple, keep it lubricated. Anti-inflammatory agents, we talked about so much today with everything that Paula brought with her herbalism and her botanical knowledge. And then foam rolling, which I'm going to include maybe on our Patreon,
right.
Some foam rolling videos, because it's such an easy thing to do that you could do at any point in time. And if you do it properly, it really can work wonders for your fascia and for those knots that we create, that tension we create in our body.
And then if you don't have a foam roller, I think like a tennis ball or something else, right?
Well, actually, that would be almost two different types of pain management, because with foam rollers, especially the bigger ones, you're going to be able to go over more of a superficial general area. When you get into a tennis ball or a lacrosse ball, that's also really good, a little harder. You could really localize and get deeper into your fascia, which is not going to feel the best. And you breathe through it, but you know, when you hold it and your muscles have that time to just slowly release itself, then yeah, you could use both. And yeah, just, you know, don't be afraid of a little pain when you're working out. Just be aware if it doesn't go away, you know, if it starts debilitating your performance, if it starts debilitating your day-to-day, like walking or showering or sleeping, it wakes you up in your sleep. And stays consistent or increases in pain, that's when you could start to worry. But that soreness, relish in it. Means you worked hard.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I tell myself, and that's what you tell my tell me every time I walk funny after a workout because my legs are killing me.
Well, hot damn. We almost made it to an hour on this one.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, it's a huge thing. It affects a lot of people. So I'm glad that we took the time to do that. And like Danielle mentioned, we're going to have some videos and some recipes and things on our Patreon. So if you guys want to sign up, contribute, like we mentioned, all of those proceeds right now are going to be going to the wildfire relief, which is really nice. And so we're really just doing this to connect with the community, to really make a more of a presence out there for women, especially. We're both female business owners, and we want to support that. And, you know, in the time of COVID, I think it's important for us to all just still come together in whichever way we can.
Someone's going to make a movie. Isn't there like a love movie, like in the time of cholera? Modern times of COVID. I'm already starting to hear it drop into songs.
There we go. If you guys do it, you know, send some royalties over to Danielle.
Yeah. She came up the idea. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next time, and peace and love.